are Locked On Spurs, your daily San Antonio Spurs podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCK15, get yourself 15% off your next order. Welcome back to Locked On Spurs and the Locked On NBA Network. I'm your host, Jeff Garcia, San Antonio Spurs writer, and I'm glad to have you back. Hope your weekend was relaxing. Took in that Spurs-Bulls game, you know, the Spurs just beat the you-know-what out of Chicago. That was awesome. Change of pace lately since the Spurs were on a four-game skid. Just when you think you're going to have a quiet weekend, no, things popped up yesterday. Aside from an injury update for tonight's Spurs game versus the Kings, we're going to be previewing that Kings game as well as the big news that the Spurs signed a three-point shooting power forward center. Yeah. Who is that guy? Who is the new Spur? What did it take for the Spurs to get this guy? And much, much more. We are joined by Ty Yeager, the co-host of At The Line podcast. Ty, welcome back to Locked On Spurs. How was your weekend?
It's been a weekend. A lot of schoolwork and a lot of keeping up with just all the random news going on.
I overheard during the weekend, and I just want to ask you to get your thoughts on this. But apparently, I heard you turned down the role for Black Adam.
Did I?
How could, why? Yeah, why'd you do that?
I'm gonna be honest.
You gave it to The Rock.
I'm gonna be honest. I don't know who Black Adam is. I'm not that comic booky. Okay, sorry, fam.
Let's get Ty out of here and hit the eject button here. Ty, let's go ahead and dive right into it. Let's just get the tonight's preview out of the way. Spurs, Kings. At the AT&T Center, the Spurs are on that 9-game homestand. I believe, what is it? This is going to be game number 4 for them? I think it's, four? I'm Ron Burgundy. The point is that they're still at home. And they are hopefully get a build on that win over Chicago. It was a beatdown of the Bulls. I mean, did they even show up? And you would think with Vucevic and LaVine and et cetera, that, you know, the Spurs would be on the wrong end of the scoreboard. No, the Spurs beat Chicago 120 to 104. Yay, Spurs, keep that up. But they got the task at hand, which is Sacramento tonight. Ty, you're looking at this Kings roster. Give me your first key to victory. Let's just dive into this. What do the Spurs got to do to beat these Kings?
All right, so first off, it's the fifth game. I looked at it, double-checked. We're all good. So I was correct. You're going up against the league's absolute worst defense and your offense was just clicking last game. So why don't you just continue with your offensive game plan and just kick the beating S out of the Kings, because your offense can easily do it against one of the worst defenses in the league. While, yes, they're a top 10 offense, so your defense is more than capable of putting up a really good defensive stand and holding these guys at bay. But I think you need to take advantage of running these guys off the 3-point line, just like any other team in this league, because
so far
you're one of the worst teams at home when it comes to opponent 3-point shooting. So, but luckily you're going up against a team that's 17th in 3-point percentage. So run them off the line. Don't allow them to get in that scoring frenzy, because they got Buddy Hield, they got De'Aaron Fox, they got Harrison Barnes, they got guys that can score. So just be careful and just make sure that you force a Buddy Hield that's shooting 38% from deep off the line and not allow him to just go on a scoring frenzy like he has in the past.
The Spurs come into tonight's game 23-20. The Kings are 21-25. Now, as much as the Kings are probably not the best in the West, let alone the NBA, they are on a 4-game winning streak right now. And as Ty mentioned, there's Buddy Hield. There's also De'Aaron Fox. And Ty, I don't know if you've seen his numbers of late, but something's gotten into him, because he is playing like no other right now. And he's in, you know, the Spurs defense needs to rise to the challenge. Well, De'Aaron Fox is definitely the guy they're going to have to key on. And I think if they slow him down, the Spurs should be okay. So what has Fox been doing in the last few games? Well, he scored 36 versus the Cavs, 44 versus the Warriors, 37 versus the Hawks, 30 versus the Cavs again. And then recently 29 versus Boston.
A scary 36 points per game average and past four games being all wins.
Yes. So it's pretty much as he goes, the Kings go. So the Spurs really got to slow him down, key on him. He's been on a tear. The Spurs will not have Lonnie Walker, nor will they have Keita Bates' job. There you go. And they'll be short-handed on that end. But defensively, they should be able to slow Fox down, shouldn't they?
Yeah, looking at those opponents in the past four games for them, they went up against Cleveland twice, Atlanta, and Golden State. Not really teams to know for their defense. So, and now Fox is actually going to have some real competition in having DeJounte Murray and Derek White defend him, and maybe Kelton Johnson along the way as well. So you have some very capable top-of-the-league defenders going up against one of the hottest point guards in the league right now. So it's going to be a challenge for your defenders, but I think it's going to be a challenge for Fox more than it's going to be for the defenders, because as we've seen, DeJounte Murray and Derek White do not make things easy at all for any point guard.
Absolutely not. Now, one thing the Spurs will have to do is not send the Kings to the free throw line. The Kings are 12-3 when they shoot 75% or more, which is a low bar in the NBA. So they got to keep them off that free throw line, and as Ty mentioned, the three-point line as well. You know, you mentioned, you know, Fox, you know, and you have problems to San Antonio. Let's look at some other players. Is there another player like a Marvin Bagley, a Tyrese Haliburton, a rookie? And do you think those guys are going to present a problem, or it's really just Fox if you really look at it, isn't it?
Well, so Marvin Bagley's out with his hand. He's been out with the hand injury for a good bit now. I think you got to worry about Mr. Chimezie Metu. It's a guy that the Spurs waived not too long ago, but you never know. Revenge games happen. Yep. I should know this.
And here's the thing too. The Kings, they have a guy that you and I are familiar with, Robert Woodard II, who played with the Austin Spurs about a month ago. So he's definitely familiar with the Spurs system, Ty.
Yeah, I wouldn't be too scared of Robert Woodard himself, just because he's only played a grand total of 4 minutes between the last five games. So, and it's all garbage time wins. So I'm not really worrying Robert Woodard. He's just not playing, but if I have a dark horse for someone that's going to light the Spurs up, because we've always known some guy off the bench usually does it for the Spurs, I'm going to put like a little red flag next to Chimezie Metu's name, just in case.
Right. Yeah. These Kings, they come in also ranked fourth in the NBA in field goals made, sixth in field goal percentage, seventh in offense. Yeah, they can light up the scoreboard. And eighth in free throw attempts. I think this is just really going to come down to the Spurs just not putting their guard down, so to speak, not playing down to the competition. And the scary thing about this, Ty, is that we know this Spurs team is capable of doing something as dumb as that, playing down to the competition. We've seen it before.
But I think they're also capable of really just stepping to gear against some of these lesser teams and kicking ass. They did that against the Bulls. They've done that against the Cavs, but I know the Cavs had some comebacks there, but they know how to kick ass when it comes to these lesser teams, and I think the Kings are no different. While, yes, they do play down in their competition occasionally, I think their track record has been a lot better, and they're very... You never want to go up against a vengeful Spurs, because, as we've seen in seasons past, a vengeful Spurs is not a fun Spurs to go up against. And this Spurs team is really trying to find some vengeance coming after those really bad losses against the Clippers. We saw that against the Bulls, and I'm assuming that they're going to keep up at it in this next game.
Bet Online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football may be over, but you got the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL. Well, they're in full swing. Bet Online even covers awards, TV shows, reality TV, real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. And Bet Online has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's basically the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website right now, which is betonline.ag, or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts, and use promo code LOCKEDON. we mentioned about the Kings and their offensive capability. They average about 114.8 points per game. Again, that's good for seventh in the league. While the Spurs are actually 22nd in that department at 109.4. So it really, I think it really just comes down to defense at the end of the day. And the Spurs, we know, are one of the better teams in that department, Ty. And you mentioned some of the usual suspects that can get it done on the defensive end, but you're seeing other guys bring that defense as well. Devin Vassell, I know he's hurt. He's also, by the way, probable for tonight's game. But if he does play, yay, that'll help slow down the offensive punch that the Kings bring. And Luka Šamović, too. You know, when he does get minutes, you're seeing him really commit to defense, aren't you, Ty?
Yeah, and I'm going to say that if you don't have Devin Vassell, you have Luka Šamović instead. And he's probably one of the most switchable guys on the floor for the Spurs in terms of his size, his mobility. I think the only position he has issue is that center position, and he can still defend that pretty decently. I just don't expect, like I've said before, I don't expect him to be a rim protector, but he can definitely guard the perimeter no matter what whatever size the player is. So if you have capable defenders out there, and that's really key between your four or five starters, and then a good portion of your bench as well. Mm-hmm. So I'm not scared of this team allowing players to score and get killed on the defensive end. I'm just a little scared that they get cold on offense.
Yeah, and I agree with you because one of the big issues that was very obvious during the four-game losing skid was that they wouldn't pass the ball. All right, it got to DeMar and it got stuck, or it get to player DeJounte, whatever, and it gets stuck. It wouldn't move. We saw a different story versus the Bulls where they were getting the ball around. Everybody was getting touches, and the scoreboard reflected that, and the box score reflected that. I mean, how many guys were in double figures versus the Bulls? It was awesome. That was exactly what the Spurs needed to do, move the ball around. But that's also something that the Kings do. They rank 12th in the NBA at 25.7 assists per game. The Spurs come in at 17th at 24.4 per game. But coming off that Chicago game, you would think they learned their lesson. I think we know what the key to the Spurs is offensively, is just getting the ball movement and getting everybody touches time.
Yeah, and that second game against the Clippers, there were only 16 assists from the Spurs team-wide. Go against the Bulls, suddenly you have 30. So there was a dramatic difference in the two games, and I think it was clear what that was. Also, fighting for rebounds, that's another thing that they really need to do. We've seen rebounding issues with this team before. But I honestly don't think they've out-rebounded a team. I want to say at least, I think they've done it at least twice this season, but you want more than that. But the first thing is just getting your offense going, because you already know that they run in transition. They're not really fighting for offensive boards. So you just got to move that ball around. You cannot allow it to get stuck in DeMar DeRozan's hands with the post-ups and anything like that. You need this offense works really well when it's moving the ball around, distributing the offensive load to almost everyone out there and not relying on just a single guy to get you points. Now, occasionally you might need DeMar DeRozan to go on for you in the fourth quarter. I'm not against that, because that man has shown time and time again that he can do it. But you cannot get into this first quarter slumps that you've done in the past, and you need to really reflect your game off of what you did against the Bulls in terms of starting hot, getting defensive lockdown, and start allowing yourself to have a lead that you can maybe allow some leeway on the eventually later down the game. Right. That's what happened against the Bulls. You had a really good start, got a good lead, and yeah, you let the Bulls start getting back in that third and fourth quarter, but you had a big enough lead to where you could keep up with it, and it didn't allow yourself to get down either. So Spurs just need to avoid Absolutely. That cold start and just share the offensive load, because that's the way that they're going to keep winning games.
There you go. All right. That is your quick Spurs-Kings preview. We gave you a couple of keys to victory, but we want to hear from you. What do you think it'll take for the Spurs to get the W versus Sacramento? You can let Ty know on Twitter at TheTyJaeger and me on Twitter at JeffGSpursZone. All right, Ty, let's go ahead and shift gear to perhaps the biggest news that happened over the weekend, and that is that the era of Marquese Chriss in San Antonio is over. As long as it lasts.
I'm so sad.
Yeah, in case you were living under a rock and did not hear this, but The Spurs, I remember that quote unquote trade, everybody, that the Spurs did at the trade deadline. Well, that was short lived. Marquise Chris is no longer with San Antonio. He was waived yesterday, Sunday, to make room for, I think this is where we need like a drum roll or something, because this is like exactly the big man that this Spurs team has been waiting for. Gorgui Dieng. You heard that right. Free agent center Gorgui Dieng is coming to San Antonio. Let's just put it this way. The news was very well received with Spurs fans, but I think we need to go ahead and dive into this. Who is Dieng? Why is this a big acquisition for the Spurs? And what is he going to bring to the table in San Antonio? Ty, quickly, why are we happy about this signing?
So, you know how we all want a shooting center that can shoot the three ball? The thing that LaMarcus Aldridge didn't really give us? Well, now you got it. You got a guy that's shooting that, while it's not, the numbers aren't huge, at least this season, he still shoots from out beyond the arc. There was one season in 2016-17, because he's 31-year-old, 6'10 center, maybe power forward. He's played the center position more most of his career. But in the 16-17 season with Minnesota, he attempted But in the past two seasons, he still attempted over 2 3-pointers a game. And so it's not Steph Curry, I know. But guess what? It's a man who can still shoot, who is taller than 6'10, who can play the 4 or 5 and shoot the 3-ball at a consistent rate. That's what I think Spurs fans should be excited about.
Exactly. For his career in 9 NBA seasons, he's shooting the 3-ball at 36%. Again, remember, he traditionally doesn't play that role of a 3-point sniper, but we know that based on his numbers that if he has to take it, more than like he can hit it. Now, in 22 games played this year with Memphis, he attempted about 2.2 3-point shots. He made one. So you're getting at least one tie from him during the game whenever he does put on that Spurs uniform and get out there. But he's just the fact that now San Antonio has somebody that can spread the floor, that can create offense, because he's going to give you about 7.9 points per game. That's what he averages for his career. And he gives you rebounding, 6.1. I think that's something we did not see out of LMA. I mean, how many times? He only got one double-figure rebounding game before he left to Brooklyn in San Antonio. That's it. With Dieng, you're likely going to see that and a lot more. The bar is set very low, Ty, for him. But do you like the fact, too, that he's still young? I mean,
young for a basketball player.
NBA standards. Yeah, for a basketball player, yeah. But at 31, do you think that is young enough to keep up with the young guns in San Antonio?
Oh, certainly. And he was doing this with other young teams as well. But 31 is like, it's like DeMar's age. It's really still, it's kind of like the back end of a individual's prime health, like prime athletic time in their life. So I think he can easily keep up with them. And I was watching some tape of him in Minnesota. He runs a pick and roll a lot with the guys. And I think that's perfect for this team that loves to run the pick and roll with Jakob. And now you just have a guy that is going to come off the bench consistently. It's going to take minutes away from Drew. I know I'm sad, and the rest of the Drew Eubanks train is going to be sad, but it's a man that can come off the pick and roll and shoot from, and instead of maybe rolling, he can pick and pop. He can do both ways, and it's going to keep defenses honest. And I think most of the time, especially with the scouting reports that people are going to have on the Spurs players, they're going to collapse inside in the paint instead of respect the guy at the 3-point line. I think Dieng is going to really take advantage of that and probably light up some teams from deep. I'm not expecting him to be, it's not a major impact kind of guy, but certainly a very helpful addition to this Spurs team. And
it's a very Spurs-esque move. This is a very Spurs-esque move. This is the one player that they pick up that makes an immediate impact. And I think he will make an immediate impact in San Antonio.
Yeah. And
you look at,
and
go ahead.
I was going to say another thing with Dieng is, I know the Nets, they've gotten two big names, even though they're outside their prime. Two big name players that are probably going to be a negative impact. But people are excited about them because they're big names. Remember how LaMarcus Aldridge was for us? He's going to bring that same lack of defense to the Nets.
Hey, we've been telling you about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market for a while now. You know Built Bar, the amazing low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, amazing protein bar with 100% chocolate on all bars. Well, it's now time to find out which Built Bar is the best, because it's Built Bar Madness. You want to go to BuiltBar.com right now to see what the matchup is today. Was it your favorite flavor? Is it coconut? Is it peanut butter? Is it churro puff? Go check it out at BuiltBar.com or on Twitter at @bar_built. Remember to use promo code LOCK15 to get 15% off your next order. That's LOCK15 to get 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. And check back to see who won today's matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar. And I want to talk to you about RockAuto.com, which is a family business serving online customers for 20 years now. Go to RockAuto.com and shop for all auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. You need brake parts, you need motor oil, you need new carpet, they got it all there. So whether it's for your classic or daily driver, you can get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique, easy to navigate. You can see all the parts available for your car and choose the brand specification, the prices that you prefer. And those prices are always reliably low. So you're not going to get, you're basically you're not going to be paying for twice as much. And you can find all the prices that you prefer. So go to RockAuto.com right now to see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. They got an amazing selection. Again, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Go to rockauto.com.
And there's the signing of Andre Drummond to the Lakers. These are just big names. And I know people wanted, we could have got Drummond in San Antonio. It's like, I don't think Drummond would have been the fit, especially since you are in need of an outside shooter that can also rebound, that's also not taking heavy minutes along with touches. Gorgui Dieng is the best, probably the best big man to get for the Spurs in terms of fit alone. Mm-hmm. And the way I see it is, fit is greater than big name. And so yes, I've been doing math all weekend, so I got to use my math analogy. But you rather have a guy that fits with your system and fits with your scheme as well as fit what needs you have, than a big name. That we've been seeing that we've been seeing this with Boogie Cousins and all the time, but Gorgui Dieng is a really good fit for this team.
Absolutely. And he's no slouch as well. He was a name to the 2013-14 All NBA rookie team, well, the second team, that is. He is capable of really providing an impact based on that. You look at other things too. His per 36 is pretty good, Ty. I mean, you love math, and I know you love those advanced numbers there, but you're looking at other game highs in limited time this year. He's already poured in 19 points as a season high. And as far as 3-point makes, he's made a season high 3 this year. Again, very small sample size in Memphis. So, another reason why I've been asked this too. So why did Memphis let him go? Well, Memphis prefers Tillman. They've been playing Tillman a lot more, and they like what they see out of him.
He fell out of rotation. It's kind of like an issue with issue with the Spurs had with LaMarcus Aldridge, where just the young guys were performing and the Spurs were rather good with the young guys than an aging veteran. So that's why they released him. He just got knocked back to the end of the depth chart.
Yep. Yeah, and this season, he's made 23 three-pointers and attempted a 48. So there, you can see that value right there. Now, I guess, I know it's one of those things where, we'll cross that bridge when he gets there. But do you foresee the Spurs keeping him longer than this season? Perhaps bringing him back?
I just need to see how he does overall. But I would not put that out of the realm of possibility just with mate, because I think the Spurs team, I've said this upcoming offseason, you need to get guys that fit next to these young guys. You need veteran players or other mid-level players that just fit well as role guys next to all these young talent, to all the young talent you have. And depending on how this goes, I think Gorgui Dieng is going to be a perfect fit for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you like the Spurs making this move because that was the one area on the roster that was hurting the most, and that was the big man depth. You have Pirtle, who's been playing great this season. You know, kudos to Jakob for what he's been doing this year. But after that, it really was kind of iffy. We know the LMA situation, so he was pretty much checked out and literally checked out. And he wasn't even with the team anymore. So there's a blow to that department. You have Samardzija, who played well in Austin, but still is fighting for minutes. You know, and so far he's on the right path when Popovich says, hey, Luka's already earning himself minutes as we're moving forward. Okay, that's good, but he's not there yet. You also have Drew Eubanks, who is he's a good player, but we know he's offensively limited. Jang is different.
And with Drew Eubanks, he's also still young as well.
And he's very still young. Yes, he's young as well. So Jang is going to back up Pirtle. But do you think that he would challenge for that starting spot, or he's really just going to be the backup?
I think it's going to be the backup. I think Jakob's defensive impact, as well as knowledge with the system, and his overall comfortability with the players on the team already, I think he's going to maintain that starting unit. It's just too much. But I think especially if you have late game situations where say teams do start going to the Jakob method like the Bulls right. did, I think Gorgui Dieng is not going to be a bad player to put out there in late game situations where you just need to avoid that Jakob system. So I think that's might be a place where he gets some significant closing time minutes, but I don't think I'm going to see him mm-hmm. fighting for that starting position.
Yeah, you know, and one thing I want to find interesting is how much the Spurs do use him. Throughout his career, his usage rate hasn't really been that high, that great. I think the most was ever was back in 18-19, where he was used by Minnesota at an 18.5% usage rate. So he doesn't get a lot of time on the court, but he makes a big impact. You also look at little things that you didn't think that this big man can do. You know, back in the 1920 season, his assist percentage was at 12.7. So he can find definitely the open man. And I bring that up. It may not sound high, but at his position. So we're just going to go to cleaning the glass here, Ty. And there it is. Assist percentage per cleaning the glass in the 2019-20 season. He was in the 79th percentile at his position with the big man. 12.7. So he can pass out of that post or maybe at the high post. Ty, do you think that we're going to see him make an immediate impact with San Antonio the moment he clears waivers and signs and he gets in there? Or is it because of the season that we're having right now that they may have to just plug and play and see what he can do?
I think it'll be more of a plug and play for the moment, but maybe give it a game or two. I think he's going to have to get used to the system. He's going to have to get used to his new teammates. So I don't think he's going to be the greatest for like the first few games or even get too many minutes. You never know. He can honestly surprise me. But I think once you get a few games in him, I think he's going to start clicking.
Right. Now, here's something very, very interesting. Now, we go to the defensive end for Jang. And throughout his career, one thing he's really good at is steals. Again, so we're going to go back to cleaning the glass here. His steal percentage for his career has been pretty solid. This year, I know it was a very limited sample size because he was played sparingly with the Memphis, but 1.9% steal percentage. That put him in the 92nd percentile among bigs. You go to even as back as the 18-19 season, he ranked in the 95th percentile at the big position with a steal percentage of 2. So we know he can hit the 3, but he can bring some stuff on the defensive end, can he?
Yeah, per 100 possessions throughout his career, he almost has 2 blocks per 100 possessions. Just for comparison, DeJounte has like 2.5 per 100 this season. Then also add on the blocks that you have some really good blockers in Jakob Pirtle and Drew Eubanks who have around over 3 blocks per 100 possessions. Gorgui Dieng is averaging around 2.5 for his career. So he can definitely be out there on the defensive end. I believe his defensive win shares are pretty significant for at least especially for the teams that he's been playing for with being Minnesota and then Memphis last season. I think it's pretty significant with what I was seeing in the defensive win shares, which looked fairly impressive.
All right, Ty, let's go ahead and give out a grade. What grade do you give this pickup by San Antonio?
A plus. This was probably one of the best signings that you could have got in terms of, like I said, a fitting for your team and filling in a lot of needs that you needed in terms of needing a big guy who can stretch the floor, having some rebounding, and maybe some additional defense coming off that bench. So you get a key bench piece that's, I think, is going to help your team in the long run. And also, you were able to sign Gorgui Dieng over some significant teams as well, as corner Mark Stein, who said that because he was released from Memphis, the Knicks, the Suns, the Clippers, the Sixers, the Raptors, the Heat, and the Nets were all trying to go for this guy, and the Spurs signed him. So great. I want to give props to the Spurs of getting a guy that had a lot of interest around the league and getting him to sign with your team. And maybe this means that you get to keep him. You might be able to re-sign him next season, but I got to say, good job on the Spurs overall. And I will talk about some of their other moves after this trade deadline, but I'll give them a good A plus. Now I got it. This is a pending A plus just because I need to see how Dieng does for the team and performance wise. Mm-hmm. But right now I'm really happy with what the Spurs have done.
Yeah, you mentioned the bench and how much of a punch it's going to get now with Dieng on that crew. The Spurs currently rank 7th among the top benches in differential efficiency. They're a plus 3.5. So you can throw in Dieng in there. I think that's going to be a great boost for a bench that has pretty much been playing remarkably this season. I think the bench does not get enough credit for its efforts this season. But overall, I'm going to give it an A. The why I downgraded from an A plus to an A is simply because of what you said, depending. I got to see how it works out. I got to see if it fits, if it's going to work. I believe it's going to work. On paper, it should work. The optics of it looks like it's going to fit. The metrics look like it's going to fit. Now they got to get it together. Makes me a little worried is because what does Pop always talk about? Familiarity, chemistry. Now you're going to start this thing, you're going to get him on board. And it's an unusual season. Everybody's learning on the fly. The Spurs only have a day off practically every other game now until the end of the season. So he's going to have to learn fast and get in there quick. And I'm pretty sure the veterans that are on the team and even the young guys are going to bring him along nice and easy. But I think it's safe to say, Ty, yes, you're going to see him perhaps do some stupid things on the court, but because they're just throwing him in the fire practically, Ty.
Yeah, I think my concern would be a lot more if he was younger, but being a 7-year veteran in this league, having some really, at least some comfortability overall in the league, I don't think there's going to be too much of a learning curve. I know it's a Spurs system. We never know. It's also basketball. I'm not a basketball player. I'm not sure how quick it would take to learn a system like that, but having that, I think having that veteran experience is going to help him learn the system quickly.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that's going to help him tremendously. You know, so, and like Pop always says, everybody knows each other's playbooks in the league. I mean, it's not a big secret. So, and it's pretty, as Pop would say, it's just simple. The round ball goes in the hoop and you stop the other person from putting the round ball in the hoop. I mean, that's what it really breaks down to.
I don't know. That seems like a lot of stuff. I have a lot of mental gears running right now. I'm not sure if I can comprehend this.
But I mean, overall, it was a great pickup. Exactly what the Spurs have been missing. Now you just cross your fingers and hope that it pans out. And I think it will. And Spurs fans will be happy. And when I say dumb things he might do, it's more the miscommunication stuff. You know, just, you know, getting familiar with teammates. You know, the occasional turn the ball over or throw the ball to where he thinks, like, for example, Murray's going to be, and it just sails out of bounds. You're going to probably see a little bit of that stuff to begin once he's in uniform and gets out there. But that will get ironed out shortly. And it came at a good time, too, Ty, because of that 4-game losing streak that really hurt the Spurs to a degree as far as that, at least just avoiding all that play-in mess. And if they get the play-in, okay, fine, they'll deal with it. But it should help them push to get out of that and maybe get 6, because with 6, you're pretty much set. You have to worry about that play-in tournament. But he really helps the Spurs' effort into getting that spot, and I think he'll pan out time.
Yeah, so I think at this point of the season that with how our teams are pairing out, I'm not afraid of the Spurs missing the playoffs, or at least not missing the play-in. I think the fight now is going to be avoiding that play-in tournament and fighting, like you said, fighting for that playoff spot, so you don't have to worry about playing. I think at the at the best, so there's like three scenarios you can go. You can get into the top six and miss the play and just avoid the play-in tournament completely. You could fall between the 7 and 8 seed, which means you just need to get one win to advance. Worst case is you land in that 9th and 10th seed and you have to win two games to get into the playoffs. And I think that's the thing that the Spurs want to avoid the most. But overall, you're trying to avoid that play-in tournament and the Spurs are going to have to do that.
Yeah, and the last thing the Spurs need are just more games just to get into the playoffs. You know, that's the last thing they want. The season's already crammed. Well, the second half of the season's already crammed as is. The last thing you need is to add more wear and tear to the legs. And I get it, they're a young team, but it catches. No matter, age does not have a number when it comes to wear and tear and just feeling physically tired. So hopefully the Spurs and Jang will work out and he'll help the Spurs push to a nice spot in the NBA postseason. We're done talking. We want to hear from you. What do you think about tonight's contest, Spurs Kings? Think the Spurs are going to get win number two? Hopefully they do. And what do you think about the signing of Jang? Is that exactly what the Spurs need? Or believe it or not, Ty, there are some Spurs fans that don't like the signing. I know they're out there.
I think I know who those people are, and it's because of tank season.
Oh, well. Well, okay. Well, then if you're about tank season, we need to know. Ty, tell everybody how they can chat with you.
Follow me on Twitter at The Ty Jaeger. It's The Ty, J-A-G-E-R. And make sure to check out my podcast at The Lion Pod. We're going to get some new episode recorded this week. I know we're horrible with it. I'm bad. Blame my school. But make sure to follow me on Twitter and make sure to follow at The Lion.
There you go. Make sure to follow Ty right now. As for me, make sure to follow me on Twitter at Jeff G Spurs Zone. And of course, Locked On Spurs, wherever you get your favorite podcasts. And with the NBA season still in full swing, make sure to check out all the NBA teams that are represented on the Locked On NBA Network. And if you just need your sports in general in quick, easy bite, well, we have that for you. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow Locked On Today podcast wherever you get podcasts. But for Ty Jaeger, I am Jeff Garcia. We're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.